The Lord speaks through the members of his body. God has, through my lips, through my heart, spoken through me many, many times to hundreds and thousands of people. He doesn't have to do it, but he wants to do it. And the Bible says that he is, as to his eyes running to and fro on the earth, looking for the upright in heart to show himself strong in their behalf. He doesn't have to do that, but I appreciate the fact that he does. And I don't know of anything to me that could be any worse than to think that God would not speak through me, because when you have a minister's heart, then the only happy moments you have is when you are winning souls. The whole world seems like a void, emptiness. There's nothing that really thrills you. There's nothing that really entices you. There's nothing that interests you when you really get a minister's heart. The only happiness there is for you to win souls or tell about Jesus or to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. That's why men like Elijah lived out in a cave and stayed away from people, because people had nothing to offer Elijah. He had seen the great wonderfulness of God, and he had looked over into a realm and a dimension that everything else looked like a garbage can. And even as it was with Paul, Paul said, within my heart there's continual sorrow, because even though he preached serving God was joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, he said, in my heart there's continual sorrow, because he said, I have a desire to be with God, which is far better. Staying here in this tabernacle needful for you. But he said, I reckon, brethren, that the sufferings of these times are not to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. And the things of God is to having this heavenly treasure in the earthen vessels. Then as to a comparison, there is no comparison as to the things of God and the beggarly elements of this world. So when he looked upon him with all that the world had to offer, it was beggarly elements, and that's why he withdrew to live a solitary life with God. And so it has been all down through the years. Jesus did the same thing as he dwelt in caves and wherever he could, just to stay away from everything so that he could walk in the Spirit. Let's read from chapter 4, the first Peter. Maybe we'll get a thought or two, and then if the Lord will let us, we'll try to get into some things. I tell you what, let's take chapter 3 first and read a little bit. There were some things here I wanted to read before we get to chapter 4. In chapter 3, 1 Peter 13th verse, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh your reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. chapter 4, first verse. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Using hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so ministers the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. Okay? Now, there's a lot of things I like to say. Always there is, but I have to be careful as not to, you know, say so many things that you can't understand what I'm saying. And when I say that, I know that you understand. The Bible said the wicked shall not understand. If you do not understand the things that the Spirit is saying, then that means that you are a wicked person. For the Bible said the righteous shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. Which means that when you do not understand, that you've got ulterior motives, you got personal ambitions, you got things here that is within your carnal mind and your carnal desires, and because of that, that intellectual blockage keeps you from understanding the marvelous light of God. Like making some radio programs today, we come to some things where we preached on the thing as to, he that walketh with me shall not walk in darkness. They that walk with me shall not walk in darkness. That is darkness as to intellectual ignorance. For Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, but rather understanding the will of God. And when you walk with Christ as to the Word, as to the Spirit, with God, then you do not walk in darkness. You understand. The light of God is upon you. But if you are rebellious and contrary, half-hearted and don't want it anyway, and if you've got your own personal ambitions in life to do your own thing, you're not going to understand. Though you hear many things, you will never understand. Because the Bible said that Satan, even the god of this world, the spirit of this world, hath blinded the eyes, even the eyes of understanding of them that are in that condition, to where they cannot possibly understand. They have to walk in the light. If you walk in the light, which means the understanding, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will understand. And you will have fellowship one with another. You won't have this old broken, grudging, hateful, contrary, divisional thing that's always causing trouble. Tail bearing and strife and jealousy and malice and all these other things as to the love of the world and the love of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You won't have that kind of thing. You won't have a belligerent sort of a thing. You will be as to with Christ, walking in the light as he is in the light, having fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus shall cleanse you from all of your sins. So then when I say things, sometimes we speak a little bit deep because the mysteries of God are great. And the Bible said that ye should launch out into the deep to understand the deep things. For the things of God are foolishness to a natural mind. And the Bible said the natural man cannot know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. But the Spirit of Christ is to God's Spirit, searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. So, our reading here from chapter 3, I wanted to pick up, if I could, on some things that we said this morning, not as into the revelation of numbers of things that we talked about, but some things in a simplicity to where we could explain as to what might be a benefit to your healing as well as your salvation. I read to you here where it says in chapter 3 that Jesus went down into the heart of the earth to preach to the souls in prison. Now, when you speak of going into the heart of the earth, he was going there to preach to those spirits that were in human bodies that waited in the long suffering of the days of Noah when the ark was being prepared just before the wrath of God came as to all of the water coming upon the earth and the great flood. And so Jesus went down into the heart of the earth to preach to these souls in prison. Now, why would he do this? See, as to this, he also went there as to them that died under the law, not having received the promise, but seeing it afar off and embracing the promise of faith, confessing that they were pilgrims and strangers in search of a city whose builder and maker was God. See, through all of this, so it is that Jesus went down into the heart of the earth. Then at the same time that this happens, as in earth, so in heaven, it always has to happen simultaneously as to the 1, 2, 3 dimensional act of God. And he went down into the heart of the earth to preach to these people. Because these were not people that lusted in the flesh and lusted in their spirit. But the Bible said, we've come unto the mount wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. Not as unto the mount that they came unto in the days of Moses, when they beseeched to say, we would not have this voice spoken to us again because it is so terrible as to this thing that we cannot bear it. But ye have come unto Mount Zion, to a heavenly host, to the general assembly of the firstborn, and wherein are spoken better things than that of the first covenant, as inasmuch as the first could not please God, so it was done away when then came the second. And ye have come unto the very throne of Almighty God, to the mount of God itself. And you are not come to a place to where there is a veil between you and God. I spoke this morning is concerning this, saying that the world can only look at God as through the veil, as to say, Jesus, the atonement. The reason for that is because they lust all the time. They have no control over their spirit. All they do is eat, drink, and lust, and just enticed and drawn all the time by evil spirits. And though they try to be very religious and act like nothing doesn't happen, yet if you are in the spirit and you walk in the spirit, you'll discern it and you can tell it. See, because you have a discernment of spirits, and you can tell when one spirit's working, when another spirit is working. See, and we're living in the day of eating and drinking and lust and marriage and remarriage. And the Bible said a sinful and an adulterous generation that constantly is doing this. See, and it is grievous to me. It is grievous to you. It is grievous to somebody that really loves God and cares for God, because they're always looking for something holy and something pure and something, you know, it's like You reach out to get a nice berry and you get the briars in your hand. As a little boy, I used to pick blackberries, you know, and dewberries and plums and all those kind of things. I'd get me a little bucket and I'd go along and pick those things. My mother would make me a pie, or I could sell them and get a little money out of them, you know. As a little country boy, didn't know much about money, and that meant something to us. But anyway, when I would reach out a lot of times to get berries, it'd be such a beautiful bush, and I'd reach out to get berries, and all of a sudden I'd prick my fingers on the briars, and I just refused to let those berries get away from me. If I got briars all in my fingers, I had to get them berries. And kind of like the apple of your eye, you know. You climb the tree, you fall on your head. I fell out of trees too. And then sometimes you would get to a bush way off from home, and I was bad about going barefooted, if you call it that. I was a little boy, I just go barefooted. I left a tromp through the woods, and my feet was like wet leather anyway, you know. But anyway, I'd get close, and I'd see those berries, and I'd start over there, and I'd hear something go, brrr. Oh, I'd hear some kind of sound. I'd say, oh, my, here I'd go, because that was a snake. I knew not to get near them berries, and that just tear me up, you know. I wanted to get rid of the snake because I wanted to get the berries. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you go through life, and you see something that looks so luscious and so wonderful, and you want to be partakers of it, and then when you do, you feel an old evil spirit, your old snake laying around in there, that old carnal mind, something that's ugly and evil, you know, and it just breaks your heart. It tears you up, because there's nothing that you can treasure in the earth anymore, nothing that you can have through your family or anybody else. There's just nothing clean anymore in life, not anything anymore in life except the Holy Spirit and something He has cleaned. And sad to say, that in the church world today, the church world is not clean. There's only a few that's clean in the whole church world. And that's them that has been purged by the Holy Spirit. So many hundreds of thousands of them that you meet in your own family and among your friends and in the church, wherever it might be, even here at Little Bethlehem. And it's just a thing of hypocrisy, and it's just a very grievous thing, and it bothers you, you know, and life isn't worth living. That's why Solomon said, why make thyself overwise and destroy thyself? Well, anyway, getting back to the originality of our thought here, as to try to do away with the flesh and the things of the flesh, and to try to differentiate us between the spirit and the body, to show where the problem is, in that the dispute is over the body, then there is a great warfare. So I read to you here, whereas going down into the heart of the earth, so he went down as to them that died under the law, not as men of lust, but men that were trying to do their best, and women that were trying to do their best, and they offered up the ritualistics as to whatever they understood before God that would pacify the wrath of God as they would have it to be in their minds. See, but God is not a God of wrath. God is a God of love. God is a God of understanding. God is a God of kindness. God is a God of purity. God is a God of virtue. And when the Bible speaks of you and I, it says, and God hath called us unto virtue. He hath called us unto glory, and He hath called us unto virtue. So then we are not serving a God that is a God of wrath and a God that wants to destroy us, but a God that wants to save us. But because of the perversion of the powers of evil, even Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, which is the prince of the powers of the air, then we're having a terrible, terrible time. Coming from out of Egypt as to the land of garlic and onions, as to the tummy, with all of that as to eat and to drink, going over to the new world, as coming over to Canaan, then we're going by the way of the wilderness as to this intellectual frustration of trying to differentiate between good and bad, in that it is in the wilderness that they get the law, and it is there that the serpents begin to bite them, because as they come to a knowledge and an understanding of good, and they find out they're not doing it, then the devil takes full advantage, and that which is ordained unto life becomes death unto them, because by the law then comes the wrath of God, because the law works wrath. For the transgression of the law is sin, and that upsets God, because sin is a killer. And God hates sin, and wherever He sees it in anybody's life, if they don't willingly submit and get away from that thing, then they become the enemy of God. And that's why the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That is to say, everything in this world is contaminated and under the curse. There is not anything in this world but what it is contaminated and under the curse. So if you go after that, then it's like reaching for the berry and then running into the briar. See, even though God intended for you to have the sky and the stars and the birds and the trees and the lakes and the ocean and all of the other things, but Satan coming in has confiscated, he's got control of everything, and he is at constant war with your mind, trying to overthrow you or overthrow the different ones. He's trying to do that so that he can get more bodies for more demons to live in, so that when he gets the more bodies, he'll have more demons living in them, and the more fallen angels that he has that inhabits these bodies, the greater his kingdom is in this world as to the power and strength of his magnificence and his legislative act unto his gullible desire to satisfy his lust and his belly. So, as the old serpent, he's on his belly, and all of the labors for the belly, because the belly desires it of him, and that's why the Bible said in the latter times, as to the last days, that men would be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, because the old serpent is on his belly. It's a generation of vipers. And the Bible said it would be a generation of evil, as to a generation of adulterers. Not a few people, but an entire generation of adulterers. Whereas when you look around, you don't see it because you're blind, many of you, and so you don't see it. But if you could look through the eyes of understanding, you would see a bunch of freaks walking up and down the road. You'd see a bunch of freaks that's in the White House and the legislative acts of government. You would see a bunch of freaks that's dressed up like policemen and sheriffs and people that are working in offices and people that are working on the job and wherever. You would look in your own home and see that your daughter was a freak or your son was a freak or your wife was a freak or your husband was a freak, that they are adulterers and they got it all covered up. That in the hospital you'd find that even the women that's been put under some kind of hypnosis as to an antiseptic or what, that the doctors are misusing them and messing around with them in such a way that it's absolutely filthy. And it is so with the dentists and the others. As a matter of fact, I said that not too long ago, and then they found out that one doctor just took one of the women and run off with her. And they found out that one of the dentists, when they put up this machine in there where they could watch and see and check the film, that he was putting them under this thing and then taking advantage of the women. See, it's a dirty, filthy, sloppy mess, the whole world. And it's cunningly covered up by the businessmen. And as it was said, I related this to you not too long ago, that when we preached for the full gospel businessmen down in Belize, that this man that had been a banker or whatever it was just outright come and told the people just how dirty and slimy he had been. I mean, he didn't spare anything. Told him just how filthy he was and covered it up by business and by being one of a social act, you know. And so it is. That's the way the world is. A whole generation of adulterers. I was upset the other day about truck drivers. They're some of the dirtiest low-down people in the world that's in the trucking business. Even though, as I said the other night, all of the world is dirty, filthy, and low-down. The whole world. The world and all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All of them have gone crazy after lust and the things of the world. See, and I said that God has condemned the whole world. There's nothing left anymore. The days of the Gentiles are at an end because of the corruption. Just before the fall of Israel, it was the same way. Israel had become so adulterous and so filthy until God would not tolerate it anymore. Even in the days of Eli, his sons would actually catch the women as they come in there as to the sacrifices and take up time with them in an immoral way and have affairs with them. And it was so horrible that God, the Bible said, sought to slay them because of their wickedness. The Bible said, when you're fed to the full, every man knees after his neighbor's wife, will I not visit with these things, saith the Lord, a sinful and adulterous generation. Always the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, nothing decent, nothing clean, nothing right anymore. A horrible situation, like it was in the last night or two. that kind of shook me up a little bit. Some woman coming here, a young girl that had been out on the road, and she had left a little baby up in Illinois somewhere, I believe, hitchhiking, trying to go up to see her sister, which was supposed to be in the Navy on furlough, or stationed somewhere up in New York. And as she come along hitchhiking, the truck drivers picked her up, and she told here when she got here how they'd molested her and took advantage of her, and how just a dirty, filthy, low-down mess when they told her, "We'll take you here and take you here," and then how that they just run her through the mill of the slop holes. And when she come here, she was all scared and nervous and needed some help, and some of the lady folks got together and helped them. What is this? It is that sinful, adulterous generation with no feeling toward anybody. They don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. See, they will take up time with their own sister, take up time with their own brother, take up time with their own mother. See, and in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, God said, and this is the curse, the man that will lay with his sister, he is cursed in my sight. And the man that will lay with his mother, as in that day they had numbers of wives, that is to say with his father's wife, as Reuben did, said he is cursed in my sight. And it enumerated the different things that it came down and said, and they are cursed in my sight, and cursed are they, and God will bring the curse upon them. But it's an evil, adulterous thing, and mother doesn't care anymore if sister's in that kind of condition, and daddy doesn't care anymore if brother's in that kind of condition, and yet somebody's going to marry them, and they're going to live with a whore or a whoremonger or an adulterer. See, and that's what they're going to have for a husband, and that's what they're going to have for a wife, because that it was said in the Old Testament, the mother and daddy has eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. But they don't care anymore. Going to the hospital and the women and men are exposed, and it's become a place as to a hog pen. And they wander up and down the halls and in and out in men and women. And it's dirty, filthy, sloppy, unclean. See, the whole world is in that kind of condition. Now, somebody said, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean what I'm saying. That's what I mean. See, I'm telling you the way it is. I've done been behind the scene. I've done seen it. I've done had the counsel with them. I've done had them to pour out their hearts and tell me secretly the things that's in their life. And folks, I tell you what, I say this reverently, a hog is 10 times as clean as they are. The hog don't do anything but waller in his mire. He does what comes naturally. As to his understanding, and wallowing in the mire, there's not one indecent thing about it. As to the old mire, just a stink that comes up from the acids. But the hog is just as clean as far as having done any evil after he wallows in there for 2 solid months. See, but the people of today have a knowledge, and the Bible said leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, man with man working that which is unseemly, receiving within themselves a recompense of reward as to their filth. Then this is the thing that upsets God. When the sow is washed, she goes back to her wallowing in the mire. A religious day when the rain is on the just and the unjust, and God gives them a chance to come. And when the dog is turned away from his vomit and you clean him up, he goes back to the same old vomit. And it's got to be a way of life. Nobody wants to speak up against it. Nobody wants to say anything. Somebody says, oh, that's horrible, Brother Pike. You shouldn't do that. Let me tell you, folks, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hated it, and he said to me, he said, you hate the garment that's spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. And David of old said, I hate iniquity with a perfect hatred. So them that waller in the mire, I hate the very garment, the very individual that will waller in the mire. As to that bodily garment, God said, I will burn it with fire. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. All of their prayers are abomination in my sight. He said, all of their offerings are abomination in my sight. He said, they that forget me, every nation that forgets me, I'll turn them into hell. Which means that when you turn away from the word, as to the Bible saying in the latter times, in the last days, and many shall depart from the faith as to the word, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, and through all of their ritualistics and formalities, this God is made to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. From such a thing, he said, turn away. Supposing that worldly gain is godliness, he said, you brought nothing into the world, it's for sure you're going to take nothing out. Having food and raiment, be there with content. And so in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, he told them of this curse that would come upon them. Now, folks, that's where the world is. Somebody said this great, wonderful God, this great, wonderful love, this great, wonderful kindness of God. And we are such blessed people. I agree that it is a wonderful God. I agree that it is a patient God. And we are such blessed people to have God to bear with such a sinful, adulterous, dog and pig-like generation, if you'll pardon an old-fashioned, countrified expression of what God said. See, I'm saying this, people have become pigs and they become dogs. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, you can't say that. I've already said that. I'll repeat it. I said, they become dogs and they become pigs. And the sad part is that the pigs and dogs, and naturally speaking, are in better shape than they are and have more morals than they've got and is more decent than they are. That they are 10 times the problem as one of them would be and even as to consider them to be slaughtered. That's the end of it. If you do kill them, and that's all. If a dog goes mad, you just kill him. If a hog is to be slaughtered, that's all there is to it. But, beloved friend, when you, as a people, stand before God, you're going to be a bad situation. You've got to answer for every thought that you ever thought. You've got to answer for every word that you ever spoke. You've got to answer for every deed that you've ever done. Everything that you have ever done is to gossip, to backbite, as to find fault, as to steal, as to cheat, as to manipulate. Even the laws are corrupt. Solomon said, in those laws I see corruption. All of the world is in corruption. All of them have got to stand before God because of the curse. In that, as God said about the judges of our day, he said, and the man that judges and misjudges or used the wrong judgment, he said, and he is cursed, and he is under the curse. And many hundreds and thousands of lawmen in our day are dirty and filthy and scummy in the things that they do. I think they just discovered about 90% of one place that they found out there were adulterers and fornicators and sorry as could be. And when I was coming through London, I stopped there reading a paper. I told how this young lady was trying to get away home and this policeman picked her up. And then at the point of a billy stick, as she said, that he threatened her until he took advantage of her. And then when they interviewed him and the papers went to him, he said it was the best time I ever had in my life. And just laughed it off. Dirty, filthy, scummy. Yet we're subject to those vanities to this extent. That is your companion, my companion, these people, our daughters, whatever, go up the road, this dirty, filthy, messy, scummy thing called the law. They stop our ladies along the streets, you know, and they're by themselves, and they have the authority to do it. And they do whatever they want to, and they talk the way they want to. And they go on with their filth the way they want to. And young girls and young boys' daddy, he buys them cars, and they go out here and frolic all night long. All night long they frolic, dirty and filthy and scummy with their dope and with their passions and whatever. Does daddy do anything about it? Does mommy do anything about it? They can't do anything about it. And you know what the final results of it is? It's like the law told me over here in Athens when we had a confrontation. And the law looked at me and said, I'll tell you one thing. If the parents can't handle it, we can. I said, yes, you can, running around with your guns and your badges, running around here and letting the liquor joints run all night long and all these other things, and you give them protection, and daddy and mommy's trying to keep them back, and you protect these devils and whatever they are to where they can fill them up with whiskey and whatever, and you're the ones that protect them. And then you grab the children and you want to throw them in prison. I said, that's where the whole problem is. Folks, that's where it's at. All right, so I know that parents have gotten to where they don't care. I'm speaking to an entire generation tonight. I condemn the entire generation across the world tonight, as in the person of Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ, and indict the entire world for their dirty, filthy, scummy way of life when they know the truth. When they did not know the truth, they were not chargeable. When they did not understand, they were not charged. But today, they know, and today, they understand, and I indict all of them. Everything from the policemen on down to the truck drivers. All of them are dirty and filthy. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, what is it? Somebody says, bless God, I'm not going to say that because I'm part of the slime. Well, let's give the Lord a hand anyway. If you're part of the slime, if the shoe fits, they say wear it. Somebody said, well, bless God, I won't be back. We don't need hogs and pigs anyway. The Bible said it's wrong to even bring the price of a dog into the house, let alone the dog. Somebody said, well, bless God, I can't say amen. You would if you wasn't a pig. Let's give the Lord another hand. You won't hear pigs saying amen. You won't say dogs saying amen because they don't say amen. All right. Somebody said, I don't like that. Why don't you stand up and tell us? That's the way I feel. If I've got enough backbone and boldness to stand up and tell it like it is, then you have enough backbone and boldness to stand up. I give you the liberty in my service. Somebody say, well, I wouldn't do that. I've done it. I've stood right up in the services and right up in the preacher's face and told him exactly how I felt about it and that he wasn't straight with God and wasn't preaching the gospel. And if you got a backbone, if I ain't preaching the gospel, then you'll stand up. If you don't, you haven't got a backbone. Not only that, but to make it to where you'll have to stand up and do something. If you got anything, you'll have the blood of these people on your hands if you don't stand up if I'm not preaching the gospel. And if I am preaching the gospel, if you don't swallow it down and get your crooked, wretched life straightened out, you are going to die and you're going to go to hell and you're going to burn in the lake of fire because the lake of fire is made to burn you in. Did you know that God did not create hell for people? He created hell for the devil and for his angels, but because man is so wretched and so slimy and so dirty and so filthy, the Bible said that hell hath enlarged itself without measure for to meet thee at thy coming. The whole world, I condemn it in the name of Jesus. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the word of God and through the Son of God that they might be saved. I know that and I praise God for that. But the Bible says that God sent his son into the world to condemn sin in the flesh. And I'm condemning sin in the flesh because you know better than to do the things that you're doing. And if you didn't know better, then you wouldn't be guilty. Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees on one occasion, they said, in saying these things, you reproach us. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And he said, you generation of vipers and you generation of hypocrites and you religious people are like whited sepulchres that appear white and good, but you're full of dead men's bones and people unaware fall into them. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. So then, what is this? Ye are a people that love God, that standing in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, not two or three people, but of a generation, in the midst of a perverse generation. Did you know the churches are in the same kind of condition? It's not just the policemen. It's not just the medical world. It's not just the military. It's not the educational system. It's the church system too. It's the religious system of the world. All of them. Somebody says, Brother Pike, what are you saying? I'm saying that they've become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. They've driven out God and they've driven out God's word and they know better. And now they've got a bunch of devils in there. Somebody say hallelujah. Television shows and everything else. That's why so many of them fall into the hands of adulterers and into the hands of wretched women and everything else. Somebody said, well, what do you mean by that? I mean the Bible said they that are abhorred of God. The Bible said a whore is a deep ditch and they that are abhorred of God shall fall in that deep ditch. That's why they're falling into that deep ditch. They are abhorred of God. God is tired of their foolishness of not preaching the gospel and tired of them making money at the expense of souls and tired of the evil things that they're doing. Let me tell you something. There's a man sitting here and he's as mad as a wet hen. He's upset and he is disturbed and he'd love to say something to me, but he don't have the backbone to do it. I trust God will give him the backbone to do it, to where he'll stand up and everybody will know who he is. I know who he is. But you know what's wrong? It's because he hasn't lived right. He doesn't plan to live right. He isn't going to live right. His mind is in the world and the things of the world, and he's trying to slip in a hypocritical way by shedding a few tears and trying to do those things and won't stand for the things of the living God. Amen. See, let me tell you something, folks. I mean everybody. When I say this, I mean everybody. Everybody. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. I mean everybody. Now, I was going to try to come around to this and explain to you that there are people in all walks of life, as I have said to you before, that are clean, godly, decent, upright people. as I said to some of them yesterday, that is in the medical world, and they are in the truck driving world, and they are in all capacities of life, people that love God and people that are trying to do right. But folks, I told you that I'm speaking of the system. The truck driving system is one of the dirtiest, low-down, messy, scummiest things in the world. Now, I know I've been there among them. But let me tell you, what I'm saying to one, I'm saying to all. We need to stop playing around. We need to get straight with God. And we need to get right with God, because the end of the world is here. We need to quit going around telling people that we don't understand. And telling the people that we haven't had a chance. And telling the people all the different things we tell them. Hell is hell, and sin is sin, and unrighteousness is unrighteousness. And there's nothing worse than a hypocrite. Let's give God a hand. We need to be either on one side or the other. And we need to get right with God, or we need to get away from God and stop hindering God and doing the thing that's ungodly. We need to be right with God. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When preachers preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the things of Jesus Christ, folks will get right with God, and them that are going on with God will get in, and this charismatic foolishness will get away from the things of God, and God will draw a line of separation and bring His people out of those things. The Bible said, come out from the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. But where the problem is, people don't want to turn loose the money. They don't want to turn loose the security. They don't want to turn loose these things of retiring and having all of this. That's where the problem is. And I'm going to say this is just like something that happened the last day or two. Where on the job, somebody come over on the job and they did the wrong thing. And the man that had the job did not have enough boldness to stand up, walk off, leave the job, but turned on the man that did try to stand up. And let me tell you something, that's the love of the money of the world and the root of all evil. I've been on the job and they come to me and they said, you can't talk about God on this job. I said, if I can't talk about God on this job when you've got those dirty mouthed men over there saying those things and you don't say anything, that makes me to know where you're at. And if I can't do it on your job, I won't stay on your job. I'll leave your job. And I've seen God fold them up like a blanket and put them away. We need to be a Christian, folks, and we need to stand for God. And if you've got a backbone, if you're clean and upright, you'll do it. And if you ain't, you won't do it. I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm not here to hurt anybody. But I'm here to tell the truth, and I'm here to preach the gospel, and I'm here to tell it like it is. And I've done that all the way around the world. I've tried not to compromise. And I've tried to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I live 2 days, if I live 1 day, if I die tomorrow, I say tonight exactly what I mean. I remember in Texas, when I was preaching in Texas, I was preaching to a group of charismatic people, and I preached the gospel, and my little one got sick and was dying, in a dying condition. And they took the outlook from what I could tell. God showed you. I said, let me tell you something. If my little one dies, I said, I meant exactly what I said. I said, you need to get your wretched life straightened out. And that's where it's at, folks. All right, men gave their lives for this gospel. Women gave their lives from this gospel. Like the song said, it's dripping with blood, it's dripping with blood. And these people preached the old-time Holy Ghost gospel. And they preached holiness or hell. And they preached to clean up your lives, or God would get you. Somebody says, well, I think that's a little rough. But let me tell you, folks, it's going to get rougher than that. It's going to get so rough that men is what with Peter when he looks at him and said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost, and they're going to give up the ghost, and they're going to wind them up and take them out one at a time. And as it was with Paul when he spoke and said, thou shalt be blind for a season for perverting the things of God and causing trouble in the church. It's going to get a whole lot worse. Somebody said, well, that ain't for our day. The Bible said if a man or woman don't do right, turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. It said the minister had the power to bless, the minister had the power to curse. And the Bible says that he beareth not the sword in vain, but he is set there as God's minister as to execute judgment upon them that do evil. And that's what I'm here for. And said, if you spare the sword, you'll spare any of them. There'll be pricks in your side. And he said, if you hold back your sword from blood, then you're cursed. And folks, I ain't going to hold back my sword from blood. I'm not going to hold back my sword from blood. I'm not going to spare anybody. If you want to be a child of God, you can come in. If you don't want to be a child of God, that's your business. If you want to be cleaned up and wallow in the mire again, or be cleaned up and go back to your vomit, you can do it. But that's the way it is, folks. That's what I stand for. That's what I believe. And that's the way it is. Now, first of all, we should not be so ready to defend wrong. If we are right in our spirit, we're not going to defend wrong. It don't matter if we're affiliated with it, we'll get away from it. We'll just get away from it and stay away from it. You can leave those kind of things. I have people to tell me, like a man told me one time, what am I going to do? I said, your wife don't need to be wearing pants, but she works on the job to where she has to wear pants. I said, well, she needs to quit her job. When God's business gets so bad and God gets in such a bad shape that He can't take care of women unless they work on the job and wear pants, then we need to quit serving God. It's time for us to close up and quit serving God. When people get so that they can't leave a job, when it's a dirty, filthy mess, then we need to close shop if God can't take care of us. When He called them out of Egypt and took them through the wilderness, the Bible said not one time did one of them's feet swell. Not one time was any of them sick. Not one time did they go lacking. They didn't have any hospitals. They didn't have any industries. They didn't have any colleges. But there wasn't a bunch of ignoramuses. And the Bible said when they went into Canaan, that God said, and this shall be the fear of you that shall be upon the people. Your knowledge, your understanding shall be so great they'll be afraid of you. That's what's wrong with Monroe. Here with this corruptible, boycotting, devilish thing of Monroe. It's in that kind of condition. It was the same thing in the days of the apostolic church when they gathered together in the little town there of Jerusalem and the different places when they threw them into prison and they beat them and they'd done all the dirty, filthy things they could to try to tear them down and boycott it against them. Folks, I'm not part of that boycott. They wanted to come out here and parade up and down and here in their shorts. And I got on to them and I wouldn't let them do those things in here. They wanted to boycott and come out and have open house and me be part of their little thing. They wrote me letters and tried to get me to join their little societies. I didn't do it because I am against it. I am against them. I'm against their corrupt way and I have nothing to do with it. And they tried to drive me out of here for about 20 years. And for about 20 years, we've stuck like glue here and God paid for everything. And they've had to take a bite. But the Bible said, I'll make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. And folks, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Somebody said, well, bless God, that does it for me. If that's the way you feel, folks, that's the way I feel. Amen. All right, we've been preaching that way for about 20 years here, and we haven't compromised for anybody that I know of. And you can be sure of one thing, by the help of God, we ain't starting now. Amen. All right, now I knew when I got on this tonight, we was going to meet a little bit of opposition and a little bit of problem. The 28th chapter of Deuteronomy said, thou art cursed with a curse. I have cursed you. The Lord said, even the whole nation is under the curse. All of the nation is under the curse. Folks, and let me tell you, all of the world. He said to the prophet, I've not set you as in a community over a church or to a nation, but I've set you up as a prophet to the whole world. And Paul said, and as unto the end of the earth, and our message is gone to the ends of the earth. But who hath believed our report? The coming of the Lord is at hand. The revelation of Jesus Christ is being made known because this revelation of Jesus Christ belongs to you that love God and you that have the Spirit of God and you that humble yourself. And let me tell you something, Bethlehemites. There is a number of you here that are nothing but hypocrites. You're a hypocrite. You know you don't live right. Your tongue is, as they say, tied in the middle and both ends is loose. That's to your gossiping and backbiting and all these things. You are not living right. You are not living right with your hypocrisy and your evil doing and your wretched tongue. The Bible said, if any man seem to be religious among you and bridleth not his tongue, that man's religion is in vain. He that taketh up a reproach against his neighbor and he that backbiteth, the Bible said, he shall not stand in the holy hill of God. Let me tell you something. I said something the other night to some of you young girls, some of you young boys. You young girls, some of you is as full of lust as you can be. and you'll sit in my face and sit in my congregation with your old devilish spirit of rebellion and sit on the seat of the scornful and constantly with your body, always doing something that's contrary in the house of God. The Bible said, and some of you mince with your feet as you walk, and you make eyes as you go, and you take men into the snare of the devilish spirit that's got a hold of you. And some of you men that go around like it's in a zoot suit, and you've got to split the shirt down in front, and you've got to go around in this kind of a manner or attire that you go around in. You've got to be exuberant in this fleshly thing here that is of the devil, as to the old bastard child image, as to the flesh. And to the first birth, always alluring, always enticing, always trying to say something, always trying to get the attention of the women, whether married or single. It's of the devil. I wish that some of you that sat on the front seat, I said this the other night, said it to some of them, I wish you'd sat in the balcony, I wish you'd sat in the back, or get a dress long enough to be decent, or at least sit there and quit going all the time with your hands and your feet every which way, constantly being contrary as a devil in the presence of the Holy Spirit and in the presence of Almighty God. Because it's a devil that's got a hold of you. You're restless. You're not interested in the things of God. You don't have your mind on the things of God. And what happens is some little girl that has got her mind on God pulls the little boy in when he don't want to be there. Or some boy pulls the girl in when her mind is out yonder. And she's just waiting to get her claws into him, because just as quick as she gets him, she's going to pull him off in the mess out yonder. And he hasn't got enough sense to know about it. Somebody say hallelujah. Like I said not too long ago, a boy coming in got real religious. And I thought, now you sure are a cunning devil. Come in here and took a little girl and pulled her right out. And I thought, that's a cunning devil if I ever seen it. He's coming in here being just as religious as he can, the devil humbling himself, and he's going to get his hooks in that little girl that really might do something for God and drag her off out yonder, and that's going to be the end of it. And he done exactly that until he killed her. I'm telling you something, young fellas, you better watch what you're marrying and watch what you get a hold of. And young ladies, you better watch what you get a hold of and what you're marrying. First of all, God don't give you any right to marry anybody unless it's in the faith. The Bible said, and you don't have any right to marry anybody unless it's in the faith. Somebody said, well, I feel like God will save them. That ain't got nothing to do with it. That's not what the Bible says. And the Bible said you are at liberty to marry them that are in the faith. If they are Christians, then God will marry you. You may go get married and you may make your vows and you may make your commitments as to woman or man, but God didn't marry you. The Bible said God doth not unequally yoke people together. That is an unequal yoke. God does not join light to darkness, and that is light trying to fellowship darkness. And God doth not yoke together the temples of God and the temples of Belial. He doesn't do that. So then there's no marriage there as of God. It's just an old harlot, whoredom thing is all it is. But when you find the right kind of person and they're free to marry and the right kind as to man or woman, and you come together with them, God will marry you and God will bless you, and that will be your home. As I said the other night, getting along here on this subject, we're going to close in a few minutes. Let me tell you something, folks. A man don't have a right to take a little woman and look at her as a garbage can and treat her as a dog and think that he's something special. You'll know more than she is. The Bible said there's neither male nor female in the sight of God. He doesn't think one iota more than you. When you spew out your temper and you have your fit and you want to slap her around, you're nothing but a devil. You are a beast, and a brute beast at that, made to be taken and destroyed. And to the little girl, they don't have a right to curse and snort and slam and break and run off and jump in the car and run off, stay off 2 or 3 days and then try to come back. They don't have the right to do that. Even though if you're living with a devil, I recommend that you go and stay and don't go back. But the thing is, if the man is a halfway decent kind of person, doesn't try to bother you to stop you from serving God, or doesn't try to mislead you or cause you to conform to the right things, the Bible said, even if it's an unbeliever, that you remain with the woman or man, and God will sanctify the home and the unbelieving and the children so that he can watch over them at least until death. And that he may or she may be won over to God by your conversation. By your conversation. All right. So then, you are under the curse. You are cursed with a curse. A curse. And he said, I've even cursed your blessings because you've let my house lay waste. And every person run to their own house. People, let me tell you something. I'm glad of one thing, that I don't bother you about your money and your giving. I'm glad that I don't do that. Even though I thank God for those that stand up with us. But the Bible said because you haven't given to God, then you're cursed with a curse. And your blessings is cursed with a curse. And though you make a lot of money, when you come home, I will blow upon it. And it will come to little because you let my house lay waste. He said to the world, because I've told you to do these things and you would not do it, as he did Israel, he said, I'll make you the tail and I'll make another nation the head and you'll be the tail. He said to them that would not honor God, he said, I'll send upon you vexing spirits of vexation and spirits of madness. I'll send upon you the burning. I'll send upon you the emrods. I'll send upon you every one of these curses that's mentioned in Deuteronomy 28. And not only that, but every other curse, every other disease that can come upon you that's not mentioned in this book, I'll bring them upon you too. Because you let my house lay waste. Because you will not follow the gospel. Because you will not do what I've told you to do. But you know the beauty of them that love the Lord and the beauty of them that serve God, the beauty of them that are Christians, real, genuine Christians, that's born to the Spirit, that humbles their heart, that tries to conform to the things of God, that wants to do right. Jesus came and was made a curse for us and took us out from under the curse. And today we don't have to worry about sickness and we don't have to worry about poverty and we don't have to worry about sin and we don't have to worry about death. Even if we stumble, even if we stagger, whatever we do as we go along through life, we don't have to worry about it because he that knew no sin was made our sin and he was made our curse and he ended the curse to where they that are born of God and they that love God are no longer under the curse. And there is no curse to them and there's not one thing that can touch them. But beloved friend, all of the others are under the curse. It doesn't matter what the operation of the world is today. The whole world is vanity. Solomon said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. You that are in the flesh, as to your educational system and your money convenience and all of the systems of the world, he said you cannot please God because you're not born again. You're not in the Spirit. Your spirit is not in the Spirit of God, but your spirit is within your flesh and your desire, your ambitions and the things of the world and your hypocrisy in religion. And he said you're cursed with a curse. Everyone that's fallen from grace is under the law, and transgression of the law is sin. And sin is the sting of death. And where there is a law, then there is a wrath. For the law worketh wrath. And only to the beloved of God is to them that are born again. Only to them are they that are not under the curse and not under the law and not under the wrath. But the rest of the world, Jesus said, the sow back to her wallowing in the mire, even though you wash her with grace. And the dog back to his vomit, even though you wash him with grace, is to pour out the rain upon the just and the unjust. And the end time will be a sinful, adulterous generation. And folks, it's out there. There's never been such a mess as now, never, no, not in the history of all mankind. The whole generation from mommy to poppy, and from daughter to son, and all the rest. The daddy's abusing their own daughters. Oh, I've heard so much even of that, that it's absolutely filthy. It's unbelievable that they would do those kind of things. But folks, that's where there are. That's where there are. So, we who are delivered from the curse of sin, from the curse of evil, from the curse of sickness, from the curse of death, we are the children of God. And the whole world, the Bible said, is lying in darkness. They are in darkness. Their intellectual reasoning. And the whole world is in darkness. And ye are children of light. Though there be few that find it, though it be a little flock, though straight is the gate, and though we have to strive to enter in, yet it is true that we are the light of the world. And though it be a little flock, yet you're in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation.
When you have good works, then you glorify the Father which is in heaven. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, can I have good works and not have the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. Anything you do without the Holy Spirit is some kind of conniving motive. It's either to get men's attention or to lord over somebody or for a social benefit or to have somebody admire you, because you can't serve God without God's Spirit. There's no way. They were called Christians first at Antioch because they were Christ-like. And folks, when you're Christ-like, you'll do the things of Christ. When you've got your mind on the things of the world, I don't care what it is in the world, then that means that you don't have Christ's Spirit. And I say that once again, as I brought it this morning, as to the allowance of the babes in Christ that do not know, and as I said this morning, them that do not understand, and them that are developing, coming to God, and as I said this morning, they are my babes in Christ. They are God's little lambs in Christ. And to those people that don't know and don't understand that's growing, God has plenty of grace. But you people that have been in religion, and you people that have heard the gospel, and you people that still make this excuse, after many years of knowing the truth, you are cursed with a curse. And the whole world is indicted before God tonight because the coming of the Lord is at hand. And the reason that I said some things that I said this morning, and the reason that I'm saying the things that I say tonight, is judgment beginning in the house of God. It is because of the marriage that took place today, as to what this day had to do with. Not that the marriage had anything to do with it, but as to this day, as to God and what God was doing in allowing the marriage to come off at this time, as to what it had to do with. And as to what it had to do with this morning when we come to the service. God has no special days. God has no special people. Has no special things. One is special to God, even Christ. And when you have the Christ Spirit in your heart, and when you have the Christ attitude and the Christ deeds, and you love the Lord, then you're special in the sight of God. But there is none good, no, not one, outside of Him. But with Him and you, then you are good. And with Him and you, you have eternal life. And with Him and you, then you've escaped the curse. With Christ in you, then you have the hope of glory and the change that will cause your mortal bodies to become immortal, immortal, and the body to become celestial, to bypass corruption and bypass death and bypass poverty, bypass sickness and all the things of the world. All right. Now, somebody would say, Brother Pike, I don't know about them kind of sermons. Well, that's what I've been preaching all my life. Somebody said, well, bless God, I ain't heard you preach like that. Well, I ain't talked to some of you that went a long time. But you know why? You've been doing real good. No reason to. But tonight, somebody said, well, why are you talking to us like that tonight? What makes you think I'm talking to you? I was talking about the dogs and the swine. I was talking about the rotten system of the world. I was talking about the conniving hypocrites. I was talking about them when Jesus said, you scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. John said, you generation of vipers. That's the ones I was talking about. Somebody said, well, I thought you was talking about me. Why would you think I was talking about you? How do you associate yourself with that? All right, let's stand together. Let me tell you, folks, with all love and respect, with all love and respect and all reverence, you come here from Texas and you come here from California, you come here from Carolinas, and you come here from Virginia, and you come here from Mexico, and you come some even from over the seas. But you can't slip in here. You can't talk your way in here. You can't slide in here. The Bible said if you climb up any other way outside of coming through the Word, which is the door, then you'll be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. And the Bible teaches that when you try to get any other way, that you are cursed of God. You must have on the wedding garment to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's no other way. If you try to climb up the other way, then you are a thief and you are a robber. Like I was preaching today as to the Lebanon station, as to Israel, and to those that are over there in the foreign country, as to the day. They said, you make yourself God being a man. Jesus tried to explain to them. They wouldn't listen to him. He said, why is it that you do not hear my words? He said, because you're not my sheep. They said, we'd be children of Abraham. He said, if you was children of Abraham, you would love me. For I came out from God. And if God was your father, you would love me. He said, but you're not that. He said, you of your father, the devil. So that's what you are. And so that's the kind of thing that you're going to do, because you are of your father, the devil. Said he was a lie from the beginning and the truth was not in him. Said there was no truth in him. And when he spake, said he spake of a lie because he was the father of a lie. And he's the one that caused all the problems down through the years. And folks, that same way today. That's the way it is today. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, it's still a crooked and a perverse generation. And it's still a generation of vipers. And even as to the worst, it is an adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. Somebody sitting on television having a television show. Supposed to be 10 million people, as we would say out there. And somebody sits there saying, I feel something. God just told me there's somebody out there that's got a headache. Somebody's got a pain. Somebody's got this. The liar sat there. He knows better than that. God ain't told him nothing. Setting out of 10 million people, it's like, I appreciate old Robert saying something one time. Oral said, when I was in a meeting and I couldn't get a healing, said, I said, well, I at least believe in the law of average. If I pray for enough people, I'm bound to strike some faith sometimes. And if I do, somebody will get healed and maybe that'll break the meeting loose. And he said, he continued on and it happened. At least the man was honest as to what he was doing. And they sit there playing the law of averages to some silly game. Folks, that's of the devil. That's not God. That's of the devil. And that's why it's falling. That's why it's crumbling. God is the spirit of holiness. God is the spirit of righteousness. God is against sin. God is against corruption. God is against hypocrisy. And God is against the things of today, just like he was then, the corruption of today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. And God is still against sin and corruption. And God will still slay the fattest among them when it comes to the hypocrite and those that play the hypocrite. All right. Let's sing a little chorus. One of the great problems of today is people not living right. And one of the great problems of today is temper, vicious temper that is covered up. Spirits of lust, spirits of gossip, spirits of fault finding, spirits of evil. In the world today, that's where the problem is today. Folks, let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, aren't you afraid that you'll lose some of the people? Jesus said, Father, I've not lost the one of them except the son of perdition, and he was a devil from the beginning. Somebody said, but he was with them. He was in the church. I know he was, but he still was a devil from the beginning. When Jesus chose the 12, he said, one of you is a devil. And you'd be surprised at the mean, devilish tempers that's covered up. And you'd be surprised at the vicious spirits of gossip that's covered up with people. You'd be surprised at the hypocrisy of people that's committing whoredom and evil and wretchedness and all these filthy things that comes to little Bethlehem as well as the rest of the church world. All right, this didn't sit well tonight. But folks, I'm telling you, you're cursed with a curse. Even the whole world is cursed with a curse. Oh, somebody says, you can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. The Bible said, if you curse them, they'll be cursed. If you bless them, then they'll be blessed. And tonight, they're cursed with a curse. All of them are cursed with a curse, except those that are born to the Spirit of God, that are the elect of Christ. I tell you where we make our mistake, folks. We make our mistake by thinking that God's got to use 20,000 people. God uses one person, that's all. That's Noah, one person is Elijah, one person is Abraham, one person is Paul, one person is John, one person as you. If you walk up right before him and you do whatever he tells you to do, and when he gets ready to speak and you're available, you're the person that he uses. And he'll speak through you, and he'll say what he's got to say, and he'll do by your hand what he's got to do. He said, Moses, tell him I am has sent you. And Moses went down there and said, I am has sent me. And he done the things that God told him to do. God, when he comes to whatever he's going to do, he uses just one individual, and that's the individual that's got his heart right, that will listen to him and say what he tells him to say. And he that I send will speak my word. And he said, if these ministers had been of me to begin with, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. But inasmuch as they didn't turn from their sins and they continued on in the things of the world, I didn't send the minister. All right, let's sing a little chorus. All right, as it was said, your blood is off of my hands now. Your blood be upon your own head. I told you, I spoke to you in the name of the Lord, and I've told you, and it's up to you. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I can't get a hold of that thing that you said to the whole world. I want to repeat it to let you know that I didn't get in a hurry and make no mistakes and say something I didn't mean. I said the world and all that is of the world is of the devil. The Bible said the world and all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and the world and the lust thou passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All right. So that way you know that I didn't make no mistake. Sometimes you think I get in a hurry and say something I don't mean. So you know now that I meant what I said. We are children of light that's in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. So let your light shine. For the whole world is an intellectual darkness as to corruption around you. And I don't know of anything, beloved children of God, that gets to me any more than as I meet the multitude of ministers around the world, and even here in America, especially in America, that has got this little slippy, slimy sort of a way that wants to get on television, or wants to get in the eyes of the public, or wants to be some kind of a ladies' man, or be something that is noticed as to something that they can slip by in and get the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and all of them together so that they can be lifted up as to ease along with God loves you and God loves you and all this kind of thing. I don't know of anything that's more repulsive to me than them kind of people, and I've run into them all my life. I appreciate men like Billy Sunday that stood up and Billy Sunday preached a real old-time gospel message. So strong that it was said that even Rockefeller, the great rich man, actually built him a portable tabernacle in every place he went. And they took it down and put it up for him. And the man preached so hard against whiskey and the evils of whiskey that it was said that when he left the city, that even the industries would start having a prayer meeting in them in the morning. And preached so hard that they said that they could give the employees a raise. So many of them quit drinking. And he was a Baptist preacher. And then we call ourselves a Pentecostal preacher. As Brother Branham said, it's supposed to be the cream of the crop. I tell you what you need to do, folks. You need to call black, black, and white, white. And the Bible said, woe unto that man that calls good evil and evil good. And you need to properly differentiate. And the Bible said, when I bring Zion again, they'll be able to differentiate. He that has exercised his senses enough to be able to discern between good and evil has to know what's right and what's wrong. God is love. God is kind. God is good. God is precious to them that will allow him to be so. But God is wrath. God is fierce. God said, I'll tear you into pieces. God is the God of judgment. God said, I'll feed you to the fire, and I'll burn you with fire, and I'll cast her children into the fire. And God is the kind of God that in the Old Testament, when they lifted themselves up against Daniel, that he was so upset, he not only threw the men into the fire, but their wives into the fire, not only them, but their children into the fire. He was the kind of God that he said, Israel, these idolatrous people. He said, when you go in, he said, you kill the man, and you don't just kill the man, you kill the mother. And you don't just kill the mother, said, you kill all the children. And when they went, they killed them all. And said, not only that, you don't mess with their silver and gold, it's a stench in my nostrils. I got a man over to my left right there. He's hostile in his spirit also. He's been that way for quite a long time. Why don't you speak out too? I appreciate the other man speaking out. Why don't you speak out? When you speak out, that gives the whole audience a chance to see it. I try not to call you out to save you in the embarrassment. But you sat in my services, you sat on the seat of the scornful, and you try to bless God. I'll show you, bless God, I ain't afraid of you, bless God. No, what it is, you just don't have any backbone, just like I said earlier. That's what the problem is. If you did, you'd speak out. Somebody said, so then you feel that a man speaks out, he's got a backbone. I certainly do, I appreciate him. Even though he might be wrong, I still appreciate him. At least he's got some backbone. Somebody said, well, then is he right because he speaks out? No, a lot of times he's out of order altogether. But there's one thing that God will do. When you speak out, God will make you confess your own wrong and vomit up your own vomit to witness to the preacher and before the congregation that it's just exactly like he said. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. The Bible said that Jesus preached so strong that the unclean spirits rose up in his service and cried out. Let's sing, I love him, Brother Taylor. I love him. The Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Love him. All because that he first loved me. You know, a lot of people feel like, well, Brother Pike, if I stand up for holiness, like a man told me in Colorado, I'd lose half of my congregation. I said, Daddy, that's what it's all about, is to divide the sheep from the goat. You're trying to get in, carry the goats in with you. I love him. Why did Jesus call it little flock? Somebody said, well, I can't be a businessman. I can't fellowship them in the upper echelon, Brother Pike, if I'm straight. Daniel fellowshipped them and he was straight. The Hebrew children and Daniel was promoted to the highest place in Babylon. And they were straight. And God made the others take a bow. And folks, not only that, but made old King Nebuchadnezzar worship the God of Daniel. Well, the problem is you're too wishy-washy. I love him. Somebody said, well, what I'd like to do is give you a whipping after church. I'll be going out this door. Say, oh, you'll have the security. Well, I'll ask him to step around the corner if you'd like to meet me. All because if on Calvary's tree, I love him. You know, I'm glad that the weapon of my warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through the casting down of strongholds. And everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sing it one more time. I love him. My loving, all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. One more time together now. I love him. My love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Somebody says, Brother Pike, don't you think you'll get yourself killed someday? You might do that. They killed Stephen, the Bible said, when he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard, you do always err, even as your fathers do, so do you. And they pounced on him, and they beat him, and they stoned him, and they stoned Paul, and they killed the apostles. And I've been at the point of guns and at the point of knives, and I've been among the witch doctors and everything else across the world, and God has spared me, and he might spare me on. But if they do kill me, I tell you what, it'll be a blessed event to die for him. That's the sweetest thing I know could ever happen to anybody. So then we're gathered here tonight to talk about Jesus. In the world, they said, tell it like it is. Two men battled it out, and they boxed and they beat till the face is bloody. I've been hit with the fist so hard that I thought my neck was broke. I've been hit and knocked down when the blood would come. See, but the thing is, it doesn't make any difference. They do that in the world, and the so-called Christians and people that are supposed to be so tender, they go to these wrestling matches and they go to these boxing matches and they just love this kind of thing. And they sit under the television and they read these horror stories and these detective stories and these love stories and these murder stories. And they go to the movies and they go to the ball games knowing that they break each other's neck and break each other's collarbones and know there's going to be wrecks. But they just love it. But they're just as religious and pious as they can be. Jesus said, you hypocrite. Somebody said, well, what about the world? It belongs to the world. That's the land of Esau. If they want to break each other's neck, that's their business out there. They're going to hell for it. But when a person says that they love Christ and they've got the Spirit of Christ and they want to follow Christ, you don't find Christ at ball games. Somebody said, well, I believe some of them boys out there's got God's playing ball. I'll tell you what, if some of them boys out there's got God's playing ball, it won't be long before they'll get out of the ball game. When a man don't get out of the ball game, he ain't got God. When he don't get out of the races and he don't get out of the world and he don't get out of the messy, sloppy system of the world, he ain't got God. He don't know nothing about God. He is a religious person and that's all there is to him. I don't care how much money is involved, how much prestige is involved. I don't care what's involved. He'll come out from them and be a separate people, folks. You love the Lord? Somebody says, well, I wish you'd preach it another way. Well, how would you like for me to preach it? Would you like for me to get up here and tell you a bunch of lies? Take your money. Take what you got, lead you into these things, and lead you right on to the slaughter, and tell you lies, or had you rather I tell you the truth? Folks, I'm going to tell you the truth, no matter what you rather. You that love me will follow me. And Jesus said, where my sheep, wherever I am, my sheep will be there. They'll follow me. They'll follow me. And they'll support the truth. I'm not worried. Them that love the truth, the Bible said wisdom is justified of her children. They'll justify it and they'll follow. They'll follow. Did you know something, folks? One of the most dangerous things there is in the world is a wolf in sheep clothing. Did you know that? As long as you can see a snake, as long as you can see a wolf, that's one thing. But when they slip in like Judas did and they play goody-goody all down through the whole transition of what you're doing as it was with Jesus, then that's deadly, that's dangerous, because that's a snake in the grass. See, and a hypocritical thing, a religious thing. But when you walk with God and you do what God tells you to do, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. The wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. They cannot do that. All right, let's sing another little chorus or two. Remember, that little body of yours can be the most precious thing in the world. It can be the temple of the living God. Or it can be a whoremonger or a prostitute. And that little body can be one of the most damnable things that ever come on the face of the earth and cause your soul to burn in hell because of your lust and your rebellion and contrary mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's what God is looking for. I've called you to glory. I've called you to virtue. And if you got that kind of spirit, you'll stand for that kind of thing. Now, what we need to do tonight, before we finish our service with another little song or two, we need to establish everything in the mouth of two or three witnesses. If I preach right tonight, there ought to be at least three people that are respectful people, that really love God, that have a reputation among the people, that the people have enough respect for to believe what they say, that would at least raise their hands as a confirmation that what I preached is right. All right, there's a lot of hands up out there tonight, for which I really appreciate, because I felt like that's the way that you would do it, which proves God is in what I said, and God is wanting these things said, for God is wanting to move the vomit off of his table. All of this lukewarm religious thing, my tables are filled with vomit. And folks, why should you come back at me if you're in the same spirit with me? Why should you come against me if you've got the same outlook I have? If you hate the garments that's spotted with iniquity, pulling the people out of the fire, and if you hate corruption and the things of the world, why would you find yourself upset at me? Is not Christ one mind as on the day of Pentecost? Is not one accord as to do the will of God as the day of Pentecost? Sure he is. If you're the members of the body of the Lord Jesus, then that's the way you are. Only a contrary spirit. Jesus said, you walk contrary to me and I'll walk contrary to you. Only a contrary spirit, a contrary attitude. Somebody said, well, what will happen to them? God will cut them down like a tree. Somebody said, when they get old? No, while they're young. He'll cut them down while they're young. They won't live their days half out. We've had numbers of them here, young boys and young girls. Numbers of them, they're dead, they're gone, because they were contrary. God killed them and took them out of the way. He said, I'll kill her children with death. I'll destroy them. I'll follow them, pursue them until they perish from off of the face of the earth. All right, I appreciate that man dropping back into the background that rose up against me, and the young lady that wants to rise up against me in her contrary spirit because she don't love holiness and she's only following for something personal that she's got in mind. I'll let the Lord deal with her. She's been doing that for a good little while trying to hide it, and tonight it showed up. It come out. And I'll let God deal with her. And after that, as the Bible said, there won't be any more problems with those kind of things. Let's sing again. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross. You know, when you say room at the cross, you're saying, are you willing to be crucified? They that belong to God have mortified the flesh as with the deeds thereof, and they that have suffered have ceased from sin. And so then, if you're willing to lay down your own wretched way of doing and leave that you're standing up for, turn away from that you're trying to defend as to the corruption of the world, then you can be God's children and you can follow God and go God's way. But if there's one tiny little iota of defense in you for that which is corruptible and that thing which is in the world, then you can't be God's children. The Bible said, he that cometh after me, let him deny himself, and where I am, there shall my children be also.
And if you will deny yourself to take up your cross, then you can follow me. But if there's one reservation of heart, you can't follow God. Somebody said, well, I don't think it's that tight. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you've got one reservation of heart, it doesn't matter if it's no bigger than the point of a pin of the finest that was ever honed. You can't go. You can't go. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean that if I'm not doing like somebody else? I explained that very carefully this morning and tonight. There are children that do not understand. There are spiritual children that do not understand. Somebody said, well, that's me. I don't understand. I'm not talking about the hypocrites. I said children. And when I say children, I don't mean that they don't understand God and they don't understand the things of God. They're God's babies. They understand very well, but they understand what they understand as to their growth, as to their measure of spirit. But they don't understand things that are too deep. They understand very well, and they love you, and they work with you, and they're congenial, and they've got a good spirit. But they don't understand. They just listen, and they love the Lord, and say, well, I don't understand it, but I believe it, Brother Pike. If it's right, God will show it to me, you know. I believe it until He shows me wrong. I believe it. I got enough confidence in the ministry. I believe it. I don't understand it, but He'll show me as we go along. But them that are in the gospel, have been in the gospel, and they've got a reservation of heart to say, well, bless God, I don't understand. I don't understand because it's my grandmother involved. I don't understand because it's my daddy involved. I don't understand because it's my children involved. I don't understand because it's my church that's involved. I don't understand because it's my business involved. No, you don't understand because you don't have God. That's where the problem is. A reservation of heart to anything in the world means you don't have God. And if you don't have God's Spirit, that means that you can't go. All right, let's sing another little chorus together. When I stand upon the mountain, looking o'er into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. For after all, this life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain also tall, looking o'er into the city. My Lord said He's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. One more time together. For after all, this life is over, burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, looking o'er into the city. Lord, city's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. One more time together. Over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain also, looking more into the city. Lord, city's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Let's sing another little chorus before we dismiss. And He was here all the time. Jesus wants here all the time, waiting patiently in line. My Lord was here all the time, and he touched me. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious little child. And dear wonderful God, we ask you to touch his little feet. Dear wonderful God, not only touch this baby tonight, but Lord God, everyone that's in here tonight that needs a healing hand and a healing touch, I ask you to heal them in the name of Jesus. Father, move away their sins tonight. Lord, the curse is gone, and Father, you brought healing and deliverance. And Father, these are the children that belong to you and the sheep of your pastor. Oh, mighty God of heaven, I ask in the name of Jesus that you heal them. Oh, Lord, may your blessings be upon them, to bless them, to lead them, to guide them into the wonderful green pastures of heaven. And dear wonderful God, may their sins be forgiven. And may they be blessed of God, and may they be led by thee. Father, for no one can lay anything to the charge of your elect. For you're the one that justifieth, O God. And Father, to all of the world that lies in darkness and sin tonight, Heavenly Father, we condemn the evils of their sins and their debaucheries and their bewitching ways, O God, even as Paul did in his day. Father, and we ask you, as David said, to make the wicked to always go backwards. Let their table be a snare unto them, and drive them back in the darkness back, and bring the light of God to your children, Father, that they may enjoy the wonderful ways of God and move the brute beast of this world that beat on them, and Lord, that mistreat them, and Lord, that come down upon them, and that's done it since the foundation of the world, O Heavenly Father, as to the wicked persecuting the righteous, and drive them back and stand for them that are right, Heavenly Father, and bring them into the wonderful inheritance of Almighty God. I ask you in Jesus' wonderful name. Jesus, touch me. Can you sing that with me? Oh, he touched me, and all the joys that flood my soul, something has happened, and now that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Sing the song, "The Stone is Rolled Back, and I'll take out of you the heart of stone, place within you a heart of flesh, and write my laws upon the table of your heart, and the love of God will constrain you and cause you to walk in my ways." The whole world is in darkness tonight and laying in sin. And it's up to you, as to the light of the world, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can you sing this chorus with me? Gone, the stone is rolled. Gone, And the tomb, it's empty, gone to sit at my Father's side. For it's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. For it's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb, it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For it's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. One more time. For it's gone, and the stone is gone, and the tomb, it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, no, for death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. Can we sing just another chorus or two before we go? It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's me, oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's me, oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. One more time. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me, and it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of... One more time. Not my mother, nor my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me, oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need. Let's sing this little chorus. I'm going to let you go in just a little bit. You preach a good, strong, hard sermon, and you cut everything off. And people, they're not too lovey-dovey. And they're not too religious, and they're not too much of whatever you'd like them to be after that, you know. But thank God for one thing. Wisdom is justified of her children, and folks, them things I said tonight, I want to repeat one more time so you'll know I'm sobering at myself. I meant those things from the bottom of my soul. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I didn't forget the song I was going to sing there. We better sing, see if we can find another song. Let's sing Amazing Grace. Maybe I'm supposed to sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet your sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. For it was grace that caught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear! It was the hour that I first believed. You know what, folks? The other night over the telephone, talking to a man long distance in California, I tried to be very gentle with him because I perceive that he's not a baby, but he is way off in his understanding. You know, and I try to be as gentle as I can with people. Whereas if he'd have been here, it'd have been a little different. I'd love to have talked to him a little straighter and been a little firmer and come down the line a little more with him, because he needs some good, stiff rebuke, and he needs to be shook up some because of the hypocrisy that's in his life. But nevertheless, working as to the best we can, trying to salvage all that we can, and trying to be just as gentle as we can, then we say the things, you know, the best that we know how. There was a couple that was wanting to counsel with me today. I didn't put them off to be ugly or whatever. You had your wedding today. I had to make some tapes. I was up in the tape room. We've been putting them off, and it was meant for me to be up there. And, of course, I was up there. But as today, I didn't counsel with the couple. Probably will later. But one thing that's wrong with the couple, I don't mind speaking it open. Some of them's probably here. If they ain't, they'll hear about it. But the couple is living in hypocrisy, and they can't get along with each other. And they're fighting and fussing with each other, and the reason is because they're living in hypocrisy. They just won't live right. They've heard the Word of God over and over. They've grown up in the Word of God, but they won't live right, and then they don't understand why their marriage don't go right. Folks, you should know that if you live for the devil, that the devil's going to be your guest every day. You know, how can you live in a hog pen and not smell like a hog? You know the devil's there, and you know that you've got the devil there, and you love the ways of the devil, and you're following the devil, and because of that, even though you come to little Bethlehem, you're still living like the devil, and the devil is your best friend. He's right there to stay with you. And it doesn't matter if you counsel with Brother Pike. It doesn't matter what you do. If I cast the devil out, if I drive the devil off and you go let the devil back, then what? Or somebody said, well, if you drive him away, he wouldn't come back. The Bible says that when the unclean spirit is driven out of a man, it wanders through dry places, seeketh rest. And when it cannot find rest, it will come back to the same place as to what it left. And then it will force its way in, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's why that we've got people here now in the condition that they're in, is because they've heard this gospel, and they wouldn't accept this gospel, and they went out in the world and done every trashy, ugly thing that they knew to do. And then after they'd done it and used up their life, then they wanted to come to this and be part of this. But folks, God doesn't work like that. The Bible said when you come to the knowledge of the truth, and I'll try to get around preaching the second sermon tonight. But when you come to the knowledge of the truth, the Bible said after that there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. And it is a true fact that once you come to the knowledge of God and you go back out and then you come back in, you're not going to live for God.
All you're going to do is come in and hypocrite. You're going to slip in and be a troublemaker. You're going to slip in and as a wolf cut the throat of the little sheep and cause problem. That's all you're ever going to do. Because you're not going to live right. You're not going to leave off with the world. You're not going to leave off with the non-virtuous thing. You're not going to turn away from the crowd out there that you're part of. All you'll do is just get afraid that you're going to die and go to hell and try to come in to get away from the storm. That's all, folks. That's like a neighbor we had across the street. You couldn't get him to church. He wouldn't come to church. He was contrary to the brethren here. Done every devilish thing he could till I prayed and God moved him out. But when the storm come and it got so bad in the tornadoes, he decided he'd like to come over here in the church. And he sat down in the church over here, wanting to sit here in the church and be part of the people to get out of the way of the storm. And then sitting here wanting to play his radio and turn on things here in the church that didn't have no business to be turned on. And somebody said something to him and he got hot-tempered and away he went. That's the way it is, folks. That's the way it is. How do you feel like Judas wanted to be part of what God was doing? All he thought was that Jesus was going to set up a kingdom and he was going to get to be the right-hand man as to handle some of the money because he had the money bag. Somebody say hallelujah. Isn't that strange that God would give him the money bag out of all the people? And the Bible said when he finally got critical and said something over there about a little of the money that was used as to say the spikenard that was put upon Jesus to anoint him to the bearing, saying that this could have been sold for money and give to the poor. The Bible said he cared not for the poor, but because he had the money bag and was concerned about what was in there, then that's why he said it. To think that he'd been with Jesus, seen the great wonderful things of Jesus, and still had his mind on money. It's little wonder that folks could come to Bethlehem and still do like that. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. Let's sing together. I read in the Bible where God so of sinners gave his son to die in their stead. He gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank God for his wonderful grace. Sing that with me. Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river. Someday I see his sweet face. With him we'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for his wonder. Sing it with me now. I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled, for I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, with pure walls of jasper.
Thank the Lord
for his marvelous
grace.
Thank God. There's a bridge or a river. Someday I shall see his sweet face. With him my will there forever. Thank the Lord for his wonderful. One more time. Thank God. There's a bridge or a river. Someday I shall see his sweet face.
With him,
we'll back forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous. One more time together. Thank God. There's a bridge or a river. Someday I'll see his sweet face. With him, I'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous. See his face. With him I'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. Let's give him a hand one more time.